Rockauto.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock and roll, and you are listening to WTR Sunday Night.
Welcome to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment.
To start, press any key. Where's the any key?
Wrestle Talk Radio, breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling.
Ever heard of a little thing called the internet?
With your host, Tim Stein.
Getting old is a terrible thing.
Mace.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's making money off the internet except us.
Omega.
I can be a jerk and no one can stop me.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
So you all hate me?
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a.
Joe. I'm in five horrors of fate. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes.
Hey, this is former WWE Superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is Booker T, five-time WCW champ. And you listen to WTR Sunday Night.
Don't stop listening or I will find you. I know where you live. I have to the earth.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
That's it, you kick that. Suck it!
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I can only assume our choice of music tonight is based on the fact that Sting is once again in the WWE and going for a world title. Or this is just a very weird coincidence and the producer is just screwing with our heads. Either way...
Well, there is a reason. There is a reason. But I'll let you do the introduction first.
Okay, then. My name is Omega. I am the be-all end-all of this little network. Joining me tonight, we have Mace.
Maybe.
Joining me tonight, we have Mace. Joining me tonight, we have Mace.
Unmute your microphone, dammit.
Shut the fuck up. But guess what? We are live for another edition of Monday Nitro at the Nassau Coliseum, even though I'm probably sure they never actually went there. Tony Schiavone, Mike Tenay, and Bobby the Brain Heenan for the first hour of WCW Monday Nitro, which premiered this month back in 1995.
This past week, 20 years to the day. This past week. So that's why we have a WCW theme. Show tonight.
Okay, I get it.
It's called Pay Attention to the Earwaves and we find out things.
And of course, joining us as usual, the guy who really put butts in the seat, the one and only Tim Stein.
And let me tell you, it is the most important program in the history of all programs happening tonight, Schiavone.
So this is the greatest night in the history of all nights?
It's the greatest history of nights in all of history nights.
Oh, boy.
Because we got this ship
that goes back to 1905.
Yes, because at the top of the hour, we have Das Wunderkid, Alex Wright, and Disco Inferno taking on High Voltage.
Oh, my God, we have to go now, everybody. What's going to happen? Tune in next week.
It could be worse. Right. We could be celebrating ECW on TNN, which is followed by Rollerball, because we can't actually promote our own product on TNN.
Dude, I miss Rollerball.
It was so corny watching the ECW on TNN stuff, because all they were doing was plugging everybody else's shit.
Except
but they never got their own stuff.
Kind of reminds me of this little thing that they got going on Discovery America that used to be on Spike.
You mean Destination America?
Oh, that's it. Destination America. I don't know. I don't get it up here.
Which is a Discovery Channel, so you were half right.
Okay, so there you go.
And yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking, because they do plug all the stupid crap that Destination America airs. Yeah, and well, for being WCW night.
WCW!
So does that mean that we throw to the WCW hotline with Mean Gene Oakland?
We could. And here's one other WCW clip I have.
This will go down in history as the greatest battle royal in the history of this sport.
So there you go.
Sure,
just so you know, Mick Foley, a former competitor here as Cactus Jack, won the WWE Championship tonight. Like, that'll put butts in seats.
Yeah, don't turn the channel, everybody. Stay with us.
Don't worry, we'll be spoiling everybody else's podcasts earlier tonight, so you don't have to listen to them, and you just listen to us. Because they're pre-taped and we're live.
There you go. Well, officially good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, the greatest network in the history of internet radio networks.
History.
In history. Yeah, if
does
I want
to history in that sentence at least 14 more times, Tim.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll work on that. But in the meantime, if I start sounding a little bit funny tonight, it's because I'm suffering from one hell of an infection around one of my upper teeth. And it's so bad that the right side of my face might as well be paralyzed because it hurts too much to move it. So no smiling. It's a smile-free zone tonight.
Whatever, JR.
Ooh. There you go. That was kind of low, but I still laughed because it was funny to me.
Oh, man, that's cruel.
I thought the joke about 2 hours ago when he told me about it, and I was like, no, let's not piss him off. Let's not make the joke.
Well, no, you're making
more
fun of...
You know I'll make the joke and won't give a fuck about it.
Jesus, you guys, you're making more fun of JR than me. It's not like I care too much. I thought it was funny.
That was another joke I could have made, but we're not going to go there.
No, you're not going to go there because you will piss me off, and then I'll have to kill you again through the internet.
Through the internet.
From a distance of 3,000 miles away.
I don't know what this clip is, but it says Vince and WCW and Booker T, so we're going to hear it.
Who will face John Cena here tonight in the main event?
Oh, this is like Cyber Sunday.
Will John Cena face the WCW World Heavyweight Champion? Well, he used to be, I guess. Now the World Heavyweight Champion, will it be King Booker?
Vince can't remember that 4 years later his belt is no longer called WCW. Good times.
Nice going, Vince.
Yeah, so, again.
He's 70. He's getting old.
Happy birthday to
I don't think
Vince.
He was 70 in that clip.
No, he wasn't 70 at that clip.
No, he would be about, what, 62 in that clip?
Something like that.
Yeah, just like 8 years ago.
Yeah, something about like that, yeah.
Something like that, yeah. So, well, time to dive right into
it. Hold on. Go ahead, actually, Ice. It would have been 2005? Yeah, King Booker, so 2005, yeah, so about 10 years.
So I was close, so he'd be 60, so, you know, within 2 years.
Within 2 years, and one more clip.
What a moment in the history of this sport!
There you go. There's your Tony Schiavone.
What a moment in this history of this sport.
Yeah.
Historically speaking,
yeah.
Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, diving right into the program, everybody, you know that we start this little chat off with our weekly win and fail. And because Omega always goes first all the time because he's so prepared, we're going to just throw a curveball out there and go to Mace first.
Yes, what a curveball. can we start with the fails this week? Just get the grumbling out of the way first, and then we can go to the wins in a happy place.
Well, shit.
Because
like,
I'm looking at the run sheet. There's a lot of fucking negativity tonight.
There is.
Sort of layer it properly so we have some good and some bad, you know.
All right, fine. Do your negative first.
The Bellatron Championship countdown thing rubbing it in our faces that she's going to break AJ Lee's title and it's at least 11 more days as of last Friday, so we're probably about 9 days now, of more of Bella, 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 Bella. Oh, look, somebody else got a belt. Then Bella, 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 Bella. Because, you know, she's got enough protection now in that company through, you know, family, boyfriend, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, doesn't her clock turn over to become the longest reigning Divas champion during, like, in the middle of Night of Champions?
I do not know. I haven't gotten the exact... I think somebody said it was the Raw after Night of Champions, at the top of the first or second hour or something.
No, the only reason why I asked that question is I do distinctly remember Charlotte saying something about making sure that she has a match before the time winds down.
Yes, that was done on SmackDown. Yeah. Yes, I actually watched SmackDown.
You're one of the few because a lot of people weren't watching it this past week.
Hey, there was an opening match and segment that I really wanted to watch, and I just left the fucking thing running while I did other shit.
There you go. So So, yeah. Okay, so that's your fail, Bella, 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 Bella. And I'm not going to disagree with you. I'm sick of Nikki and Brie and Brie and Nikki. I'm sick of them. So, Omega, do you have a fail?
The thing was, I was ready. I was ready with a win for the week.
Oh, wow. I should have gone to you first.
I wasn't ready for a fail. I was going to look up a fail while everyone was going over their wins the week.
So, Tim, what is your fail of the week while Omega prepares his fail?
Well, I can go with my fail of the week, and my fail of the week is all of the fans have given up on the Divas Revolution, specifically because of the Divas Beat the Clock challenge that happened this past Monday night on Raw. It's aggravating as hell. It's going to be a roller coaster. You're going to have ups and downs. The Divas Revolution is not dead. It's not a fail. People, get over it. It was a Divas challenge beat the clock series of matches. We didn't get one, we didn't get two, we got three Divas matches. Yes, I understand that they were all really short. However, that's the thing going on. They're going to get the title off of Nikki and put it on Charlotte. She's the new heir apparent, and I understand you've been jazzed and juiced with the legitimization of the Divas division. Don't worry, they're not abandoning it. That's my fail. All the fans bitching about it.
So basically, you listened to the show from last week and deciding to take a shot at me.
No, actually, why? Was that your,
that was an entire 30 minutes last week.
Oh, no, I honestly did not mean that as a shot at you, but seeing as you brought it up, yeah, indirectly, it is a shot at you now.
And, hey, I'll give you a quick rebuttal. Sure, we got three Divas matches this past week, but to be honest, all we heard was Bella, 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 Bella. Oh, something happened in the ring. Bella, 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 Bella. Oh, look at the clock.
Yes, I know, I know, I know. And I can understand where you're coming from. However, don't worry. The title will leave her waist soon enough. This is why we're getting Bella, 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 Bella. Oh, fail. She didn't wind up being the longest reigning bitch.
No, but she's the longest reigning cocksucker on the other champion.
Oh!
Former champion, anyway.
Dude.
Not to mention her upcoming father-in-law is going to be very helpful, too.
How
dare you? It's a family conspiracy.
How dare you actually
point out... The whole family's fucking their way to the top.
Like what she actually probably does behind closed doors when Total Divas isn't filming. Omega, what's your damn fail while you're playing with your Legos?
How is Wally going, by the way?
Oh, Wally's fun.
I'm building a Wally.
The fact that Mace asked you how Wally was going and you're saying Wally was fun made us assume that you're building a Wally because we heard you all playing with Lego. We all heard you.
Oh, Tim, actually at the Lego aisle at Toys R Us today, I actually had a brief thought of you.
Oh, no. What did you see?
I saw the Lego Big Bang Theory set.
No.
Yeah.
Lego Big Bang?
Yeah.
That would be cute.
It's their living room with a bunch of like little tiny collectible shit in the background, and it's minifigures of all the main characters.
Oh, God. Okay, that would be cute. But that made you think of me?
Yeah, because anytime I hear Big Bang Theory, it's you.
Is that a very veiled, somewhat highbrow, very subtle age joke?
No.
I've been around since the Big Bang?
No.
You see how you can understand how I went there, right?
No, if I was going to make an old joke, I'd just make a fucking old joke.
But you could see how I would go there, right?
I can see how you're going. Tim?
If you guys were older than me,
Tim,
and I made that joke, I would do that. I know, you're more direct than that.
I hurt inside.
Do you have an old joke?
God. I've got plenty of old jokes. Let me think of a new one, and I'll get back to you.
I didn't mean old joke. I mean, never mind. What's your fail, damn it?
Honestly, I am not a fan of what I okay, it's a fail. It's on my nerves, but God, it's like only there's parts of it I actually like. It's unfortunate this way. The new developments in the Rusev and Ziggler storyline.
Oh, with Summer Rae and the whole misunderstanding. I don't trust you now because she saw you naked storyline.
Yeah, like the super the super predictable. No, she just rushed in while he's taking a shower thing just to frame him. Bullshit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Video footage.
Oh yeah. There'll be a video of it.
No. It was during one of the backstage segments with, what's her name? Renee
Young.
Renee Young. and you see Summer go into Dolph Ziggler's dressing room not long after Lana has walked out of the shot.
Yep.
And this is where logical fallacies begin to develop. You have video footage, and yet Lana, for some reason, at least on Raw, believed Summer's story of, I saw everything. Then he grabbed his towel and he kissed me. Blah 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 blah. And it's like there's video fucking footage of someone that has been a bitch to you for the last month, going in sneakily into somebody else's locker room, and then coming up with this overblown fabricated story that you can obviously tell is fabricated.
Yeah.
Yet you're still believing the bitch that has been the woman that has been a bitch to you for the last month over the guy that's been the nicest guy in the world to you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Is this the point where we go, women don't fucking run on logic?
Well, you know, in other news, the sky's blue. I mean, what's your point?
It does get on my nerves, because it's not only that, it's like, I know you've been a conniving bitch that's attacked and slapped me at every chance you've gotten, but I believe you implicitly. I am totally 100% behind what you are doing. Like, I will buy what you were selling, no matter what the price. I fucking hate angles this predictable. And part of me kind of likes it because it's the kind of shit they pull in the Attitude Era.
Mm-hmm.
It's the type of story, little twist that they haven't pulled in a long time. And like, part of me is like, they're branching out a little bit. They might actually go back to some of like the classics here and like build some good storyline, but it's such a predictable one, and it really doesn't do any good for Lana either, because it just makes her look
makes her look gullible and dumb as shit.
It makes her look gullible. Yeah, it makes her look like she has absolutely no faith.
Yeah, well, if you had seen the follow up on SmackDown, you'd be even more outraged than you are.
Yeah, I saw bits of it, and I just sort of started banging my head against the desk trying to get rid of it.
Yeah. Now you brought up Attitude Era, and when they would do shit like this, at least they made it logical and make sense. And when they were doing shit like this in Attitude Era, it wasn't so blatantly, obviously stupid that, you know, Lana's going to immediately believe her bitter arch rival after all of the shit that's gone down previously.
Yeah.
I mean, even in real life, I've had, situations like this occur around me and such. I'm not going to point anything out. But, you know, the female in question didn't immediately believe the rival bitch.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the girl in question would do everything she could to try to beat down on the rival bitch for doing shit like that.
But even, like, to break this down in sort of the way that they've done it, the biggest problem they did was that they have the footage with the Renee interview, with Summer in the background sneaking into. The fans saw she's gone in. They already know what's going to play out. They already know that Summer's going to lie her ass off.
Yep.
The better way to do it would have been to skip that opening part, go to the accusation that they did Thursday on SmackDown, and then you have the footage show up as it's like the camera was rolling, but we weren't broadcasting at the time.
Mm-hmm.
At least that way it gives the whole story a bit more credibility and keeps everybody going, well, maybe it could have happened.
Mm-hmm.
Because they did drag up the fact that Summer Rae has had a past with Dolph Ziggler and everything. So you bring all that up, you build all this mistrust in the fans' minds, in Lana's mind, and all that. Then you hit with the footage of, oh, well, we found this while the producers were editing. And then you show Summer sneaking in and doing wrong. You know, that's how you play that angle and have it be believable. But because they've shown us the footage to begin with, nobody's buying it from step one, and it's just making Lana look like a moron for buying into it at all.
Yeah, in television studio parlance, they blew their load on that one shot.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
There is something to say to how much time on Raw they devoted to that storyline when it's a mid-card storyline.
Mm-hmm.
That's more attention than some world title feuds have gotten in a single episode, so I'll give you credit on that one.
Yeah, well, you know, as far as all of that goes with the mid-card and what they're doing, given this all of this all this airtime and airplay, like on Raw at least, when you go back to the Attitude Era, one of the reasons why it was so strong, and I think we've all agreed on this point several times in the past, is Raw, WWF at the time, had an extremely solid, very strong mid-card. And one of the reasons why the mid-card was so damn strong was they actually took time to develop shit. And I don't know, maybe they're trying with their new writers that are like four generations removed from the guys that they had back in 1996 through 2003. Maybe they're trying to recapture that a little bit. And if that's the case, I'll give them credit for effort, but a failing grade for doing it wrong, which, you know, just leads to your fail for the week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so that being said, Mace, what's your win for the week?
My win for the week is anything that they've done this week involving the Dudleys and the New Day.
Weather!
Save the tables. Save the tables. Save the tables.
The contracts that we signed were signed on a table.
I remember that.
No, that has been very enjoyable. They're really doing a good job with the Dudley Boys' return. And as much as I just can't stand the New Day, what they're doing with that whole thing with the Dudley Boys and the bubble wrap tables and everything
It's corny as hell. I love it.
I am digging it. I'm not saying anything more than, yeah, I am digging that.
And to be honest, the Dudleys have put on two very solid, very good matches as well. You know, the New Day on Monday and also the Primetime Players on Thursday.
Yeah.
So, and you add that with the pure gold comedy that is the New Day all of a sudden.
Yeah.
This is something I'm enjoying immensely.
Yeah, no, I'm digging it. I am definitely digging it. And the Dudley Boys coming back after 10 years being away, they're showing that they can still hang with the WWE style. And
for guys that haven't worked in nearly 10 years, they sure are looking good.
Yeah, there you go. Like, of course, you know, they've been in TNA and all this crap, but it's a totally different animal in TNA than it is with wrestling the WWE style.
They're in another company? I thought they were just retired for 10 years.
They never said they were retired for 10 years. They just said they've been away for 10 years. They've come back after 10 years.
Well, I suppose that's true. They did go and wrestle in Japan for a while, so yeah. I don't remember any of their American work, though.
There you go. What American work?
It'd be hysterical if it was like back in the WCW days when someone would say, "Yeah, I've been down south all this time,"
and that's all they'd say. But you knew what it meant.
Yeah, but the thing is, they could turn around and go, "You know what? We've been in Florida for a while," and people would be going, "What? You're in NXT?"
There you go. Stuck in Florida. We finally got out of there. Yeah. So, all right, Omega.
It was going to be the same thing.
Really? Cool.
I fucking love this shit.
Yeah.
Man, the New Day already made me laugh. They are unintentionally the best heel thing that's been going on in a long time.
Yeah.
This is just a perfect feud for them. Like, there's so much fodder for them. It's such a good juxtaposition between the ECW born and bred Dudley Boys and the New Day.
Well, do you guys collectively feel that maybe the Dudley Boys are helping to further legitimize New Day?
They are, in a sense, because, they actually have the Dudley's attention. They are worth the Dudley's time for coming back. Mm-hmm. You know, you could argue, well, maybe the Dudley's smell blood in the water. Maybe this is just a really weak team that was lucky to get the belts, and now it's a good time to go take them back.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's a really good star rub for them to suddenly come back, and that's what you do with them first.
Yeah, which works quite well, I think. Absolutely. Yeah, good win. My win for the week is Kevin Owens and what they're doing with him and what he's doing. And everything that Kevin Owens has done since he became a member of the WWE family, which includes his work in NXT, is just, you know, like the attention to the most minor of details. He wrestled Cesaro Monday and storyline broke Cesaro's ribs or whatever. But at the same time, you know, it's old school ring psychology that he is demonstrating. And it's not just a sweeping thing, oh, I cracked your ribs, so I'm going to hit you in the ribs again. But focusing on every little nuance of everything that he has done in the ring. And it's a case of remembering what he did like 2, 3 or even 5 minutes earlier in the match to come back to it. And everybody's like, oh yeah, no, hey, that was pretty smart. I remember that now. I mean, it's just, this guy is going to be absolutely huge in the WWE for years to come. That was my win.
I genuinely hope that's true, because there's backstage chatter that a lot of people aren't a fan of him, which fucking stupid.
Well, Bret Hart did a Periscope Q&A with the fans this past weekend. He said his favorite wrestler right now in WWE is Kevin Owens. I think he called him Kevin Steen. But, you know, everybody's saying he's, you know, out of shape. He's not out of shape. He's a big guy. He's not that big, blah, blah, blah. So because he's got Bret Hart's endorsement, you know, he's going to, like, replace John Cena as the face of the company, right?
Yeah, that's how that works.
Yeah, thanks for that. But
yeah, that's how the torch is passed these days on Periscope.
Yeah, Bret Hart endorses you, then you've got it made. He sure took a shot at Hulk Hogan, boy, I'll tell you.
Who?
Yeah, you know, the guy who shall no longer be mentioned until shit blows over. But yeah. So that's our wins and our fails for the week. Everybody, you know, you're more than happy to play along with your win and fail, your own wins and fails of the week if you want. All you got to do is when we get to it, type it into the chat room. And, you know, when we do wins, let us know what your wins are. When we do fails, let us know what you think absolutely reeked of not awesomeness every week in the world of professional wrestling.
And if people aren't in the chat room live and listening to this via podcast, how can they join us live to be in the chat room, Tim?
All they got to do is come to wildtalkradio.com, click on live, and they'll go straight to the chat room. Or if you actually really want to type it in, just go to your address bar and type in wildtalkradio.com/chat.php. And then you too can be in the chat room. Give yourself a name and interact with us live. How was that? Was that good? Did that pass muster?
Yes, good.
Where did that phrase come from, passing muster? I don't know, that's been an alarming term. Anyway, Mace, you alluded to all the shit that happened this past week, so we might as well just start off with, I guess this is the biggest story of the week. Jimmy Snuka. Yeah, Jimmy Snuka finally being charged with third-degree murder in the death of his girlfriend back in 1983.
Yeah, now I'm curious about this. Isn't there this thing called a statute of limitations?
Not when there is a capital charge, and capital is murder. If it's involving the cessation of life of anybody, there is no statute of limitations in the United States of America. Yeah. If you pick somebody's pocket or you steal something or you commit fraud, then you've got a certain length of time that you have to duck the cops before they can't touch you because it's been too long. I mean, like, look at what's going on with Bill Cosby. All of these women complaining and bitching about him can't do a goddamn thing anymore because of the statute of limitations has run out. So they waited until
that's what got me confused. Yeah. Was the Bill Cosby situation, they pretty much can't do anything because of the time frame. Yet for some reason, Jimmy Snuka is being charged with the murder of his girlfriend from something that happened the year I was born.
Yeah.
You know, it's 32 years ago.
Ow, that hurts.
That's a bit fucking out there.
It's quite a while back. Now, this is not unprecedented. There have been murder charges that have been laid against people that have actually been 50 years down the road. Very rare. But it has happened previously. But I think that we all saw this coming like a year ago. Because wasn't it just about a year ago that they reopened the investigation into her death? And I know for a fact I said, well, Jimmy Snuka is in deep shit now if they reopen this thing after 32 years.
So. Yeah, it's a bit weird that they reopened the case after so long. But then again, they seem to be doing that with a lot more cases over the last 5 or so years. Because of the way technology has changed, we can identify more. even off something that's...
Yeah, forensics and DNA have advanced that much that, you can find pretty much anything on anything that's still left over from the case.
Yeah. Now, DNA does degrade over time, but usually that's... it's got a half-life of, generally speaking, 100 years. So, now the problem is, I don't know what they would have as incriminating DNA, because after it happened, Jimmy Snuka told... four different versions of the story of what happened. And so it's not like he was denying that he did anything. He told the cops that they had a yelling match and she slipped and fell after he pushed her and banged her head, all this other stuff. But the main thing that caused them to reinvestigate this or revisit the case was the coroner in the autopsy report pointed out trauma to, I can't remember the girl's name and off the top of my head, and I don't have it on the sheet here, but, trauma over different parts of her body that was, consistently, recent or, possibly at the same time of, the blow that caused her death. So,
yeah, it's still weird to me that this type of thing's happening, but as we've said, the way things have advanced over the years, they can do it.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. Jimmy Snuka has been doing great things for the WWE, and he's basically gotten the He Who Shall Not Be Named treatment.
Yeah, and
he's basically being scrubbed from anything and everything that they can get their hands on except for the WWE Network.
Yeah, we've got somebody in the chat room saying Snuka will be out of the hall soon after any ruling. Well, he's basically been, his name has been removed of everything right now already.
Yeah,
so.
Part of that does kind of bug me because... There's been no verdict yet.
No.
If you actually found some damning evidence, if you actually found proof that he actually did something, okay, fine, strip him. But, there's the whole innocent before proven guilty thing that sometimes I think should be adhered to a little bit better. It's not like a Hogan situation where, we got him dead to rights on tape of doing this shit.
Yeah. Well, yeah, in the United States of America, it's and most of the world, it's innocent until presumed innocent until proven guilty. However, you can be innocent, presumed innocent, but still under suspicion, and it's the suspicion that can potentially cause damage to a company or a business that you are associated with, and as a result, especially in today's climate. In today's day and age, I can understand why WWE is taking preemptive steps to disassociate themselves from Snuka until such time as any actual verdict has come through. I can understand it. I can't exactly. I won't agree or disagree with them taking such drastic measures before anything has come through. It's kind of like fixing the barn door after the cows escape. You know what I mean?
Well, you got to remember, when the last time any of this type of thing happened in regards to a murder charge or anything was with Benoit.
Yeah.
And look at how much shit the company went through when all that stuff happened.
Yeah.
They were taking hits left, right, and center, which is why you get... such reactions to, Hogan making racist comments and Snuka's charge being brought back up.
Yeah.
They now see these things and go, shit, we need to get as far away from these situations as possible before the worst can happen, and they try to throw it back all on the company.
Yep.
Because that's when stocks take a hit and shareholders aren't happy.
Yeah, that's something else that you have to keep in mind, WWE being a publicly traded company. Now, the question would be, in that situation, if they were still privately owned by the McMahons, would they have done that this quickly?
Probably not.
Probably not.
I'm thinking in today's day and age, with this climate, after everything they've gone through with Hogan and Benoit and all those guys, they might still have done it.
There's part of me that still says that, especially under Vince's command, if this was Vince's mindset, there'd be enough of a businessman in him to actually leave all of that stuff up when the charges on Hogan came up.
Mm-hmm.
Because, hey, people are Googling Hulk Hogan left and right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really crude way of doing business, but this is Vince McMahon. Let's be honest here.
Yeah, and you're thinking of the free advertising that WWE would get. The only thing about that is focus on the advertising. Even if it was still a private company, Vince has sponsorships. He's got sponsors. And having lived the life that I've had being associated with stuff like this, if a sponsor is really unhappy with shit that's going down, you can bet your bottom dollar they will force you to do something about it or take their money elsewhere. So that's another factor to think about. And another reason why I think in today's day and age, after everything that's already happened, they probably still would have done it, even if it was still private.
Plus, you also got to remember, this is not the boom age of professional wrestling.
No.
You know, Vince, when being a privately owned company, if a sponsor turned around and said, we are going to take all your ads off because you pissed off the people from GLAAD or something, Vince would be like, yeah, and? Watch me give a fuck. You watching? Watching? I give no fucks. Because you fuck off, several people are lined up right there to take your place.
There you go. And people aren't lining up like they were in the late 90s, early 2000s. So,
exactly.
Yeah. Now, how is this potentially going to affect Tamina in the company? Because WWE, for quite a while this past year, has really laid it on thick that she was Superfly's daughter.
They just stopped mentioning. Gotta remember, she's not Tamina Snuka. She's Tamina.
Yeah, well, she was Tamina.
She doesn't. Yeah, and the thing is, the wrestling fans will understand it. The wrestling fans will also remember that.
Yeah.
But they will try and disassociate her from her father as much as possible. Never bring him up on television. Yeah. Never bring him up in packages. Never have her reference him in promos. She will be just Tamina. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you see them maybe taking her off TV for a little while over this?
Oh, hell no. They can't afford to take her off television right now.
Yeah, not during the current storyline. It pretty much relies on everything being in its place right now.
It would kind of screw up Team Bad, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well...
Well, you get rid of Tamina, and then it's just Sasha and Naomi, and Sasha's like 10 times better than fucking Naomi, so...
Yeah, well, yeah,
throw the dynamic off.
But this is your chance to promote Blue Pants.
No!
No!
Fuck off.
I was kidding. Jeez, dude.
This is
geez.
Bad comedy.
Have a shirt with that on the way.
So, and no, Tamina Snuka is not his stepdaughter. She is his daughter. Just letting you know, Chase is in the chat room. Chase Merriman, so... that's blood right there, buddy. So, but yeah, that's not the only
thing, like from Deuce and Domino.
He could be thinking from Deuce and Domino.
Yeah. I can't remember if it was Deuce or Domino, but one of them was Snuka's adopted.
Yeah. It was Deuce. Deuce is the adopted son. I do believe so. But, that's not the only nasty thing that's happened this past week.
Yes. This was a fucking weird week.
Oh God! I remember hearing all the news that Rock is hitting me on Skype while I'm working. And oh hey, this happened, that happened, the other thing happened. Like Jesus Christ! I'm thinking, well, when are we going to have time to talk about the all-time greatest this Sunday? That was my first reaction. But I'm not laughing at all of the bad news and stuff. But it's just anyway. Bram has been arrested. Bram from TNA, everybody. He's been arrested and suspended on, what was it, domestic violence?
Domestic violence and wrongful imprisonment?
Wrongful confinement, yeah.
Wrongful confinement.
Or unlawful confinement or something like that. Basically slapped his girlfriend around in the bedroom, closed the door, and wouldn't let her leave the bedroom.
That's some kind of fucked up.
I laughed my ass off because he only just re-signed his contract with TNA about 3 days before.
Yeah, no kidding. There's only one reason to hit a woman, and that's after she kicks you in the balls 5 times. Now, after she kicks you in the balls 5 times, if you are still able to hit a woman, then you have free reign. But if you've ever been kicked in the balls once, and I know all you guys have, those of you who have balls, it's kind of hard to move just after one kick. Never mind 5 kicks. So
okay.
And to be honest, if you've been kicked in the balls 5 times by a woman, she's the one who's the domestic abuser, and you should be calling the cops.
Absolutely. And then we'll just call you Christopher Titus if that happens. If you don't know what I'm talking about, listen to some of his stand-up routine talking about his ex-girl.
I don't think Christian was it. I remember that stand-up routine. That's what I was thinking of. But I don't. Was it actually like I thought she was punching him.
Yeah, well, she didn't kick him in the balls. I just made the reference. You know, Christopher Titus getting the shit kicked out of him from his ex-girlfriend. Calling the cops. The cops show up. She's the one who says she's been beaten. And so they arrest him to take him to the station. She says, no, wait a minute. I over-exaggerated. And the cops are letting him go. And he's like, no, please, take me with you. I did it.
He's serious. Okay, if you never listened to him... go, because he's like seriously one of the best storytelling comedians I've ever heard.
He really is. Oh god, just hilarious. Yeah, I realized I'm 6'2", I'm blonde, I'm wearing white pants, I'm a very pretty man, and I'm going to jail. Fucking love that routine. Titus is hilarious. I mean, I loved watching his sitcom until the network interfered.
Hell, networks do that.
Well, the network basically killed a really, really good TV show.
Networks do that.
But who played his father in that? Stacy Keach. And now that guy has got some kind of comedy chops. Stacy Keach does. Anyway, yeah. I don't know what really we can talk about this other than the fact that I personally think Brahm's a total fucking asshole.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's a pretty easy one, yeah. We'll come to that consensus. Will anyone stand up for the girlfriend abuser? Nope. Okay, we're in agreeance.
But apparently it's come to light that he's still married to Charlotte.
Yeah, that's only on paper, though. So
yeah, it really doesn't have any bearing on it.
Well, it's like I was married to my ex-wife until 1998, but I split with her back in 96. So yeah, anyway. So yeah, I'm done talking about this guy.
Yeah. I'm good. Time for a break.
Yeah.
I'll go through something else.
Absolutely. Everybody, you're listening to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Special shout out to PW Mania, PWMania.com, for all of your wrestling news and information. Check out our affiliate, PWMania.com. That being said, we'll take a break right now. Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com. And you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Just when you thought it was safe to check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, you better think again. Watch them flee. Watch them flee. as taking over the airwaves every Saturday night is the show that has no limit.
Hey, Rob, what channel
like
is
Oxygen?
It'll be close to me.
It's like one of those, it's like one of those women channels, like
Oxygen.
Lifetime or holy shit, that chick is holding a dildo.
It's the Oxygen channel.
Hot. Yeah, just fucking, yeah, fondle that thing.
Okay, that's what like, you're playing with it, like, and it feels great.
Oh my god,
look, oh my god, look at this. Can we see it in action?
Touching a blue dildo.
Ladies and gentlemen, in case you are just
seven
tuning in with us now, or
dog.
In case you're totally lost, we are watching, it's a 7.5-inch
dog.
What the hell?
The show that makes the unexpected the expected.
It's actually my radio station.
For real?
Yeah.
What radio station you on?
It's the EWA Media Network.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Can I be on that radio station?
You can. You want to talk to
her? I need to talk to her.
You got to talk to her. Hold on one second.
Hey, you're on the air. What's going on?
What's good?
Nah, what's going on with you? Yeah, you're the same
Listen,
one, right?
I want to be on your fucking radio station because I'm from Connecticut and I went to school in Boston.
Yeah, you know the deal.
No, you need to have the life out in fucking Florida. Just come down for a week.
Oh, jeez. How long
it's
you down? Would you move
down
there?
Yeah, well, there's not a good tree down here, and there's not good people down here, and it's the life.
Yeah, you gotta do what you gotta do, right?
You gotta do what you gotta do, that's right. Alright, well, I'm gonna put your boy back on the phone, but I just wanna say Connecticut 860 representing, and that's what's up.
Of course. You know how we do it up north.
Alright, boy, I'll talk to you later.
Hold on one second, let's see. Who does need a bathing suit?
Woo!
The show that makes you wonder, did I really just hear that?
What the? Shit, why don't you turn it on? Let's do some live demonstration here.
Yeah, really.
I want to see the bed vibrate.
I'm never letting my girlfriend watch this channel.
It's cigarette butts and bandanas. Saturday nights, midnight Eastern, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Now who's ready for another shot?
Thursday nights, the Rack lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin, as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz.
This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
This is Kane from WWE.
The future is now when you experience The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said, Suplex City, bitch.
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moment.
You will get your rematch. Put that man down. Your actions have consequences. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now get out.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. And I'm not gonna sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles! Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axelmania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
this is your friend, former WCW Cruiserweight Champion and WWE Cruiserweight Champion. Cheers, Cuba Super Rana.
You got respect. Not the bad one. Not the great one. You got respect. The juicy one.
And you're listening to WildTalkRadio.com radio show, the best juicy show in the world.
Welcome to the most important history in the history of history. It's a history of history here on History. Did I say it enough times?
No.
Of our sport.
Oh, I forgot. In sports.
There you go.
Okay, I forgot the world sports. Right. Well, welcome back, WT, or Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And yeah, we're continuing with the shit news. We got two more things to talk about, guys.
Yeah, more shit.
More shit. It's just shit. That's all it is. It's shitty shit, shitty shit, shit. It's shit. And it's kind of shitty shit. Seth Rollins' girlfriend got her ass fired.
Yeah.
With all her Nazism and swastika stuff like that.
See, that's the first thing that people point out, but she has some really heinous shit that had nothing to do with Nazis on her Twitter account.
Well, yeah, she's just like some kind of major hater type, I'll tell you. It's somewhat disgusting, to tell you the truth.
There's words for girls like her.
Now,
rhymes with punder cunt.
Yeah, that was very good. Congratulations. Yeah, she's defending herself, you know, free speech and all this other stuff like that. I have always been of the opinion freedom of speech crosses the line when it crosses into hate speech. That's, you know, that's a little different. Hate speech being free to, you know, say shit like that. I don't really agree that you should be able to, because there's a difference between being able to speak freely about something or someone and promoting stereotypes and genocidal beliefs and such. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, this is one of those situations where it's like, yeah, you said some pretty fucked up shit and it's come back to hurt you, you know. And it goes to show that's the way of the internet these days.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Anything and everything that you say, especially if you are going into a place of a celebrity status, you're going to have a lot of that stuff pulled back up on you by people that are trying to, say, sabotage your career.
Yeah.
Or something along those lines.
Yeah.
Unlike the situation with Jessica Havoc, who said a couple of fucking stupid things and it came back to bite her in the ass because she went for a WWE tryout. This shit was... You know what? I'll fucking warrant anybody who decided to put this type of shit, like, dig this up and say, guys, you might not want to have her on your roster.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because not only was it speech, it was photos as well.
Yeah.
You know, showing off collections. Some of the shit she said was, like, absolutely... It wasn't just, haha, I'm trying to be funny. It was some real fucking heinous shit.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Now, she initially tried to defend... her quote-unquote freedom of speech crap by pointing out that the swastika, or swastika, depending on your pronunciation of it, until it was adopted by the Nazis, was actually a symbol of good luck and good fortune in such places as India and Mexico. Mm-hmm. And it was.
I've got a Japanese Pokemon card that has that symbol on it.
Yeah, now here's a couple of things that just, like, fucks that right up. One thing that fucks it right up. If you guys have not seen it, she had posted a picture of Omega, ready for this, a My Pretty Pony dressed up as Adolf Hitler.
Okay.
Before she defended her use of the swastika as a symbol of good luck and good fortune.
How
can you post shit like that and say, and then after you post it, say, well, no, I didn't do it because of Hitler. You did so, you dumb thunder cunt.
I didn't do it for Hitler. I did it for The Rock.
Jesus. Yeah, did it for The Rock. Sure, why not?
I did it for The Rock. I did it for the white people.
Yeah. And I understand. Be proud of whatever your ethnic. I don't subscribe to separating people of different colors and backgrounds as different races, because in my opinion, the human race is a single race, and it comes in many different varieties. It's like a bag of M&Ms. They're all different colors, but once you get rid of that candy shell, it's all chocolate underneath.
That's almost poetic.
I know. It's all the same chocolate underneath that candy-coated shell. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Unless you're a Skittle, then fuck you.
Yeah, and I'd like to say, by the way, konnichiwa to Nick Diddy. And just to let you know, the actual correct ancient pronunciation of swastika is swastika. He's just correcting me in the chat room. Nobody calls it the way it's supposed to be called. You're right.
Take it from the guy who was there when they made the word up.
Hey, 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 hey. That was an old joke, wasn't it, you prick?
No, it was new. I just came up with it.
Oh, it was an ageist joke. There you go. I got you. You're trapped. That's it.
Don't worry. I already deleted it from Twitter.
Yeah, we're still scrubbing your name from the Hall of Fame because somebody pointed it out. Speaking about being pointed out, when our intrepid producer, Sir Rockin, pointed out to me that this went down in the middle of my shift at work, one thing that he was saying that just left a bad taste in his mouth was all of the bitches saying, look what we did. We got our ass fired, bitch, blah, 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 you know, like bragging about it. Okay, sure. Maybe bragging about getting somebody fired isn't necessarily a good thing. Unless, now this might be the ends supporting the means, maybe, which not in every case is the correct way to view it. But it's like doing the wrong thing and getting the right result, if that makes any sense.
It sort of does. Doing the right thing for the wrong reason.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you.
Because that's the one thing that does kind of disgust me about this, is the way it went down. It wasn't because they were concerned, hey, WWE, you might have a Nazi sympathizer joining your Divas roster right now. Or, this girl said some pretty heinous things, like nothing to do with Nazis, but holy shit, is she a bitch.
Yeah.
It wasn't done out of concern for WWE. It was done out of spite. It was vindictive.
It's a case of haters are going to hate, and they're going to try to do everything they can to fuck you up.
It's a case of what we call here in Australia, tall poppy syndrome. Somebody has been elevated up to a celebrity status, so people who are either jealous or angry with a decision go out of their way to try and bring them down, and in which case even try and get them fired from their position.
So, but, you know, like, She did not deserve to be around.
No.
Bottom line.
I find it disgusting the way it went down, but in the end, I really don't care because it's still for the best. This is not someone who deserves a spot on the Divas roster. This is not someone who should be representing a worldwide company like the WWE, especially in your PG era. So
this is not somebody you want as to be potentially in a role model position.
Right, right. Like, okay, fine. The women who, like anyone who called her out on this was, like, it went social justice warrior on her. They did it for the wrong reasons, but fine, whatever. They get their Schadenfreude over Nazi symbolism, which is ironic.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. But, you know, let them go do whatever they do. This was going to happen sooner or later. And honestly, like, as much like as it is with the Jimmy Snuka and Hulk Hogan thing, good that it happened now, before she's had a chance to represent the company.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else? Just me? What?
I don't think that anybody on the panel is in disagreement on the subject. So I think that's why there's a little bit of lack of discussion about it.
So we officially shove her over with Ram. Fuck him.
Yeah. You know, like, you know, you dumb bitch, you got what you deserved. I don't care that it was because of a bunch of haters.
Even though the methodology is flawed and the reason why it was done is terrible, the fact that it uncovered something that is very heinous and could potentially be damaging to the company down the track is probably for the best, even though, as I said, the way it was done and the reasons for why it was done are just as bad as what they uncovered, really.
Yeah. Now, the question, my question, is Seth still with her?
Yes, they are currently on holiday as of, like, today, supposedly, according to reports.
And she got fired just after she debuted in NXT as what's-his-name's sister.
Yep, and that's probably why shit got dug up, because all of a sudden, you never heard of a thing of her being in developmental. You never heard of a thing of her being on indie scene or anything like that. It was the fact that all of a sudden, Seth Rollins' girlfriend appears as sister to NXT star.
No. She appeared with Seth Rollins at TakeOver. That's when she became a thing on the internet.
And not the nude pictures that got leaked by his fiance at the time.
Oh no.
The funny thing was, everybody was on her side with that situation. They were like, fucking get rid of him, destroy him, kill him.
But no, now it's because they appear together in public, so all the girls go, I'm jealous, so let's go on the internet and find stuff about her.
Lindsay!
No, not
don't blame Lindsay.
Not Lindsay, no. But that's what they did, and they're all the ones that are so excited. We got her. Yay, look at us.
Fucking fangirls.
So, technically, breaking, developing news, according to Nick Diddy, according to Hulk Hogan's Twitter, apparently he's basically announcing his retirement from the industry.
So, when the WWE says, you're no longer a part of our industry, you know, where's he supposed to go? Is he going to go back to TNA? Is he going to go to Global? No, he's not going to go to Global. He really has no... There's no option. It's like, yay, good, you're putting it out there, but who is going to take you? I'm just saying.
The thing is, like, okay, so Hogan suddenly announces, I'm done with wrestling. He's still going to be doing his, you know, Hulk Hogan Beach House thing. He's probably still going to be doing, you know, Q&As and photos and signings and all that shit. He's just not going to be under contract with a wrestling company.
No, basically, as I'm reading the tweet now, it looks like it's based off of everything that's been going on between him and Bret Hart and the whole Piper thing that you showed me earlier, Tim.
Okay.
You remember that link you sent me?
I do. As a matter of fact, the YouTube page where the Periscope was posted is still up.
But no, there's been a whole thing, and Brett said some things, and then Hogan responded to things, and now the internet's probably going crazy, and he's being blown up on Twitter about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably what it's going off about it right now. So, that's my take on it, at least.
Well, I'll tell you, in that video, Brett sure doesn't hold back for his love of Hulk Hogan, that's for damn sure.
Brother. They've never liked each other.
Well, he like called him an absolute piece of shit, and he did say that he never saw Hogan being racist or anything like that. But in the same breath, he also said that he can remember when he was wrestling and he got into WWF and surrounded from all these wrestlers who came up from the South. They're using the N-word all the time, and that was just the attitude. And because he's Canadian, he just never understood and never subscribed to it or anything like that. And I'm like, Brett, what's that got to do with being Canadian?
That was Hogan's excuse. He grew up in the neighborhood, and that's how they all talked and how the wrestlers talked and everything like that.
Then yeah, everyone who lived nearby him disputed that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, bullshit. I do understand that there are places in the world where it doesn't matter what color you are, if they're your buddy, you're going to, hey, what up, my nigga? I mean, I've done it, and
you
it
just has it.
You know.
Yeah.
Hell, I've said it multiple times to... you know, a listener to our show, Clinton Bowman.
Yeah.
Shit, we dropped that word about 400 times a conversation.
And let's just, for the record, point out that our buddy Clinton Bowman happens to be the African-American persuasion.
Wait, what? Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Just so that doesn't shock everybody?
I'm blown away.
Yeah.
And back on that Tuesday night show, that was pretty much the opening... The opening phrase that was used when a good friend that we nicknamed Jamal would call into the show on Tuesday nights.
What up, my nigga?
Exactly. And that was and that was coming from Spug.
I miss Jamal.
Yeah, he disappeared off the face of the earth.
Yeah, might have to track him down.
Whatever
happened to that, brother?
Anyway, moving on.
Don't be going, oh my God, under your breath like you're some offended Jew. Jesus Christ. I had to throw the Jew reference in there just so everybody knows that we're equal opportunity offenders and we're not just picking on one.
Now, let's think about it. You took a shot at black. You used the black terminology. Then you said the shot at Jews. And then you said Jesus Christ. So you knocked them all out at one.
I didn't say anything about the Muslims yet.
Do we have any Asians? Any Asians in the crowd?
Did you know Indians are Asians? But they're left out half the time when you say Asian American.
Which is very true. I have actually met some Indians that are like from Singapore and shit like that. So, yeah, it's weird.
Well, it's Asia. Yeah. It's Asian continent. Like, technically, Russians are Asian.
Only part of Russia. Like, what is that? The Siberians. That's part of Asia. But it's, you know, owned by Russia or whatever. But, yeah, India is a part of the continent of Asia, so... People don't realize that sometimes. Anyway, that's, you know, Seth Rollins' bitch. They're still together. He's not distancing himself from her publicly. I mean, they're on vacation in the Dominican Republic until tomorrow night's Raw. Is any of this potentially going to bite him in the ass?
Oh, hello.
Could it? If he wasn't in the position he was, if he was lower on the card,
if he was the forgotten member of the Shield, then yeah, they would have like bumped him back to NXT or just kept him off TV. As world champ, this ain't gonna bite him in the ass at all.
So should it affect him at all?
No.
Oh.
However, advice to Seth Rollins, and this is something that you should have learnt a long time ago: never stick your dick in crazy.
There you go.
Before you guys move on to the next unfortunate topic.
Oh my god.
Please, have you got something uplifting for us, Rock? Please!
Please. Sunshine and rainbows, please.
No, I don't have any of that for you. Sorry. This ties into the story that you guys were talking about. This comes from WWE. To all indie talent wanting to get into WWE, delete your social media profiles now if you have any questionable comments. For women, delete all sexually themed photos as soon as possible.
Hey, Nazis and sluts, go away.
The only sexually themed photos allowed on your official WWE Twitter feed will be taken at WWE headquarters.
Except for the ones Vince keeps for himself.
Which will still be taken at WWE headquarters.
Anyway, uplifting. Shootings. Yay.
We said uplifting.
Well, technically when the bullet hit, he went up about 3 inches.
Really?
I'm trying. Dude.
What was the name of that actress that was on My Sister Sam? Rebecca Schaefer.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a mid-80s sitcom starring Pam Dauber.
Okay.
After Mork and Mindy. Why did I bring this up?
Why are you so old?
Because, no, I was just actually reading about this past week on the internet. It's got nothing to do with being old. Now, fuck off. You know what? The older I get, the older old is, if that makes any sense.
So, anyway, back to the...
Let me finish with this Rebecca Schaefer thing. This deranged guy stalking her all over the place, left, right, and center, finally pays this private detective $500 to find out where she lives. This private detective turns around and goes to the DMV, pays a whole 4 quarters, and gets the information of where this girl lives, like the apartment building, the street address, the whole bit. And so the private detective winds up making like a $499 profit. This guy goes, confronts Rebecca at her place of residence, and winds up stabbing her to death, which brings about all of these different laws all over the place. How does this tie in to what we're about to talk about with this guy who got shot at the performance center? He was stalking somebody!
Now, are we sure, you know... I don't know how to tie it in, but...
Wait, hold on, Rock. Before we continue, I have an anecdote about Welcome Back, Cotter.
Don't you dare, because I might think of something to bring up just to piss you off.
Now, with this whole performance center...
That's all right. I had a Mr. Robot reference sitting here ready to go.
Mr. Robot, what, the USA TV series?
Yes, that one.
That's pretty current, man. You don't win. It's too current. Anything before 1995 is eligible.
So, as I was trying to say... When it comes to this WWE Performance Center shooting, the dude was obsessed with Lita.
Oh, that will just turn Omega's stomach.
How?
Because he brought up Lita.
No. Him. How?
Oh, okay. There you go. Like, how the fuck? You know, that because he's not mentally all there. That's how.
He's also at one point obsessed with AJ Lee, but because he was stalking the Performance Center because Lita was there for the last, what, 2.5 months?
3 months.
Feeling tough enough, so he's been around there for a while. He's also said he's tried to get a job with WWE. He's even gone up to Stamford, Connecticut. He's thrown feces at the building.
He's tried to get a job with WWE. I can see him just going up to, hey, can I have a job? No, fuck off.
Wouldn't be surprised if he didn't send in a video for Tough Enough.
How about now? Can I have a job now? I said no. Fuck off.
Supposedly he did send in a video for Tough Enough.
See, I was just taking a stab in the dark, and that makes
sense. Well, your stab in the dark actually hit Vader because he did do a video. A rejected video.
He was rejected. Wonder if he professed his love to Lita in that video.
Professed his love while throwing feces like an ape.
And he also peed on the building. I mean, I can understand throwing your poop like a monkey.
Is there something about him mixing his waste with milk, too?
Yeah, he did that as well.
Well,
if you want to learn more about doing things with your waste, go watch Total Divas. Daniel Bryan talks about his composting toilet. You can hear more about it on the Rack Extra Total Divas, now available.
We could wonder what he was doing.
Uh-huh.
How he thought this was somehow a good thing for him to do.
Mm-hmm.
Or contemplate. Does he actually know how to attract a wild Lita?
Only if Lita
is this
actually
his way of leaving. Was he actually leaving his pheromones where she could find them?
Well, you say it would only work, my point being, it would only work if Lita was a female simian, wouldn't it? I was about to say primate, but technically humans are primates. So I said simian because that means monkey.
Yes. Or where?
Monkey.
Yeah, we got it.
Monkey.
Look, yes, Lita's a human.
Monkey.
Lita is a human. Hetero erectus. We know this.
Hetero erectus?
Look.
And to Diddy in the...
I hate you for making me laugh because that hurts like a son of a bitch. Hetero erectus.
To Diddy's thing in the chat room was the guy stalking Lita, Matt Hardy. We cannot confirm nor deny.
Oh, no, it wasn't Matt Hardy.
No, he's just running around taking his trash out naked, apparently. And pictures wind up on the internet about it.
God, smarten up, Matt. Don't do that. Nobody wants to see that. Not even Lita. That's why she left you for Edge.
Jeez.
Shit, I went there.
God. Like, fucking, like...
What is in the water?
Fucking creepy.
All the shit going on. What's in the water?
This is Florida. This is, like, straight up, like, bath salts fueled Florida.
I can confirm this because I've done 399 episodes of reading stories about Florida.
Okay, so basically this is just a typical Monday.
No, this was beyond typical Monday.
A manic Monday, mm-hmm, and a typical Tuesday in Florida.
Holy fuck.
It was a crazy first couple of days in the wrestling world this week.
Yeah. Absolutely redonkulous.
Really?
Really, really.
Really? Okay.
Really? Really? What?
You said redonkulous. Really?
What's wrong with saying redonkulous?
Nothing.
For you, about 30 years.
Stop that. Just cut it the fuck out.
No. I'm having fun.
There you go.
This dumb fuck stalks Lita for some basalt-related brain injury.
Basalt.
And get shot. You know, word was he already had a restraining order or something.
Uh-huh.
He wasn't allowed to come within X amount of feet of any WWE building or
like
event, I believe it was.
500 feet.
Oh, fuck if I know.
Yeah, something like that.
He was barred, at least all I know, he's barred from Performance Center because he's been showing up and they put down a thing on him. So
yeah, so he breaks that, cops are called. I'm guessing he resisted. He got shot.
They thought he had
a knife and he was approaching the officer.
Yeah.
So they didn't have security on Dean Ambrose again. Okay. Seriously, fan jumps the railing at a WWE event. Looks like he was trying to pull a knife or something, in the footage. And that security guard fucking killed him. Just like, hip toss better than most wrestlers.
There was only one report that said that he was, like, someone was trying to stab him. I still didn't, I never saw anything that said he actually had a knife.
No, it just looked like a crazy fan to me.
Yeah, just look,
yeah, it looked like he was just like trying to jump him.
Yeah. But still, you know, fucking, yeah, whoever that whoever the security guard was that was with Dean Ambrose that night, clone that motherfucker and put him at the WWE.
Yeah, fucking
center.
On point.
There you go. Just nuts. Before we move on, because we're actually pretty much done with the shitty news, 2 weeks ago, man.
Yeah, we're done with the guy throwing his feces at the building, yes.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago, I went directly to Miz because I know he's into this, and I don't know if you are or not, Omega, but if you are, you can chime in too. But 2 weeks ago, Miz, the debut, another way of saying that would be the series premiere of Fear the Walking Dead aired. We've had two episodes. The third one is airing as we speak right now, episode number 3. I want your thoughts about it so far.
My thoughts on Fear the Walking Dead at this point in time is, why the fuck are you trying to do a pre-sequel to The Walking Dead? You know, I understand that they're trying to tell the story of what happened leading up to the outbreak that created the world of The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, you're trying to keep it in the same universe, but completely disconnect it from what eventually happens. You know, you have different families that are unconnected to any of the characters in the show that we've been watching for 5 seasons.
Yeah.
Which causes a bit of an issue. If you were telling the stories of the characters, like, before everything happened, you know, before Rick wakes up and all that type of stuff, you know, that's the stories that we wanted to hear when this thing was put into rumored production. We thought we were getting the prequel of the characters that we've come to follow. By doing it with some other groups and families that are completely unconnected, you are now disconnecting the fan base from the universe you're trying to create.
Mm-hmm.
Now, being it's still done by one of the writers of the comic book of The Walking Dead, I have a bit of faith that they can bring it around, but they really need to find a way to connect it to The Walking Dead series proper in order to pull fan viewership in, because from what I've been hearing, the ratings on it have been getting worse and worse.
Mm.
Like, the first episode did great ratings, second episode was nearly a 50% loss.
And now I'm still waiting to actually put out a full judgment. But the first two episodes I saw, I think the second episode was way better than the first one. I liked how the first one ended, and the second one picked it up right where the first one ended, which is very in keeping with the storytelling of The Walking Dead. Now, of course, it's supposed to be a prequel to say, well, look, you know what? Rick Grimes currently is in the hospital after being shot and he's unconscious and stuff like that. And you don't know what happened between that shootout on the highway in Georgia and the rest of the world while he was unconscious. Well, this is what happened. I read someplace that at some point in time within 2 seasons, they were going, the original plan was to actually connect the two different casts somehow, not as an ongoing thing, but as a crossover type idea.
See, and that's where the biggest problem is.
Yeah.
You know, instead of doing a crossover, they needed to focus on these characters in what they were doing before the Walking Dead series started.
So basically, yeah, in your opinion, it might have been better had they brought everybody to do two different series, like the original cast.
Yeah, like, you've seen in the show Michonne, and she's hinted at her backstory with kids and everything. That's the stories that we want to see.
Yeah.
Like, we want to see how Michonne lost her family. We want to see how she ended up with such a grudge against the governor. We want all those type of stories to be told.
Yeah.
But instead, we're getting a random family that we're following through the start of the outbreak. And to be honest, given the way that they've shot it and they've shown it, it makes me wonder how they're going to get to the point where this outbreak becomes so bad it decimates so much of the United States.
Yeah.
Because from what I've seen, a lot of the way that it's been done, this shit is so easily containable that unless they were left with a bunch of, well, feces-flinging monkeys to protect the borders of each state, this shit shouldn't have gotten out of control like it did.
Yep.
And to be honest, I can't feel any connection to the family. I can't feel any connection to the characters as I do with the ones in the proper series of The Walking Dead.
Now, this is going to make you look at me kind of strange, but the only character in the prequel series that I have started to feel any kind of bonding with or connection with or whatever is the drug addict son. He's the only one I care about.
Yeah, I just feel a big disconnect with the whole series. And I think it needs to be interconnected with the original TV series in order for people to stick around and watch it.
I think it's too late for that. It might have been the better thing for them to do it the way you suggested it, but that would be a hell of a strain on things unless they did a staggered shooting, which is basically what they would have to do. Because if they did a story on
Rick, are you fucking kidding? They do six episodes, break for 6 months, six episodes, break for 6 months.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the airing. They do shoot, like, all 12 or 13 episodes, but they only air them six at a time for however long before taking another break.
The shooting thereof, you know, even if you average it out to, say, a full week of shooting, so a full 7 days of shooting for one episode, which there's still a lot of downtime. Like, you take a look at Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Right. Game of Thrones has a big production time where they shoot everything. Then they have a block of time about 4 to 6 months where all the actors and that go off and do different projects.
Yep.
Same thing with The Walking Dead.
It's like Daenerys. You
film it all in a block, and then you can and during the down season, you do a shortened season for Fear the Walking Dead, and you shoot that either afterwards or after a couple of months break.
Well,
that way you have a constant cycle going for production.
Well, what they would have to do, like I was going to say, if they want to focus on a Rick Grimes story with his family and stuff like that, at this point in time, they could do it, except that they would have to bring a different actor to play his son. What's his kid's name?
Carl. Oh,
that's it, Carl. They would have to bring in a different actor at this point to play Carl. Now, they've done it before, and other shows are going to wind up doing it again, sure. Fine and dandy. I don't see a problem with that. But he's got that full beard going now, which doesn't really grow in overnight. You do a Rick Grimes story, and you're going to have him go clean shaven and hope that after you finish filming that, you know, like do the whole season, quote unquote season, Fear the Walking Dead, the Rick Grimes story, you hope that it grows back in time for them to pick up where they left off for Walking Dead.
Okay. But here's the thing, Tim.
Yeah.
I'm going to go slightly spoiler here for you later. Okay. Eventually, they do end up establishing a very good town base, right? Yeah. At this point, Rick actually shaves again.
Okay.
Okay. So, if they want to try and bring people into it, they can push it towards where the comic books have been for the last few months.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can bring those characters in to Fear the Walking Dead.
Now,
but anyway, people are probably sick of us talking zombies on a wrestling podcast. So how about let's take a break and come back with some decent news and shit, and let's get this shit done.
That sounds fair enough. I just want to thank everybody who's not into Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead for putting up with us talking about it. And as you know, we do shit like this. When you tune in to WTR Sunday night, you're listening to Rust Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this with the PWI 500 list.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office.
Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with the Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply thebomb.com. There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MVG1211.
This is your Pope, D'Angelo De Niro, and I'm going to make something perfectly clear to my congregation. When Pope is done pimp-slapping all of his opponents in the ring, and Pope likes to sit down and relax, he goes to youtube.com/MVG1211.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR wherever you are.
It's me. It's me. It's DDP.
Yo, Monkey. It's me. DDP. The king of Bada Bing. The master of the diamond cutter. The three-time world champion. And you, Monkey, for you, you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network. That's a bad thing. That's a good thing.
Fourth pack is back, cause a mass destruction. Guess who's here? The bad boys of wrestling. Testing competition when the war does the mission. Not no mercy, see the rain start to strip. If you don't know, you better find out the wolf pack.
And welcome back, WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We have a potential for a discussion here. We can talk about John Cena trying too hard to keep up with the younger and newer talent. And will it cause him to suffer a serious injury at some point? Well, he's already suffered injuries, and I don't think that he's so old that he has to try too hard to keep up with quote-unquote younger and newer talent. That's my opinion. What's yours?
Before they give you their opinion, did you not see what happened this weekend?
I know he botched a move and landed on his head, but guess what? Younger and newer talent botch moves and land on their heads sometimes too.
Yeah, but he wasn't doing these moves 2 years ago.
No. Yeah. He's. You're thinking that he's trying to freshen up his repertoire just so you know because of the new people coming in.
Well,
oh my God, he's trying to add a few more moves to the moves of Doom. Oh my God, no! How dare he try to expand his repertoire? Oh no!
I don't mind him expanding his repertoire, but don't pull from like fucking cruiserweights when you're doing it. Like,
Mike Awesome used to pull from cruiserweight stuff, and he was like fucking twice the man Cena was.
Look,
just in height, size, and belly.
Cena is a fucking like slab of meat with two fucking legs on. He's not supposed to be doing code reds. Like, he's not supposed to be doing hurricanranas. You know, I don't even want him to attempt the springboard stunner. I don't think he got all of that.
No, he does a really bad springboard stunner.
It's not. No. That, listen to the announcers. That is always. It is always named the springboard stunner. I don't think he got all of that.
Okay. He does a really bad springboard stunner. I don't think he got all of that.
Thank you.
Move. Yeah. He has a bad
I can't wait to see that one being put into WWE
2K16.
I'm trying to search that up on the fucking list.
I don't think he's trying too hard to keep up with other, you know, newer talent. I mean, like, look at Kevin Owens has got, like, over 10 years in the business. Not in WWE. Doesn't matter. The indie scene can be a lot more high impact than what we see on WWE.
Honestly, I feel like he's trying to, like, completely counterpoint what people are saying about him. Like, you know, the five moves of doom and he can't wrestle, and he's trying to intentionally add really flashy moves to his repertoire as a complete and total opposite reaction thing.
No, but one thing he's got to do is stick with what he knows.
Stick with what he knows. Stick with what he's built for. He's a powerhouse. Like, for years, that's what he's built under, is how powerful he is. So give me some power moves.
Well, you know what? We saw Brock do a five-star once.
I'd give it 3.5 at best.
It was a shooting star, and he created the Earth like a fucking meteor.
Yeah, the shooting star. And, like, he did it in developmental all the time. And he just, like, screwed up his takeoff.
Yeah, and the Big Show used to be able to do a fucking moonsault. It doesn't mean that he should be trying it now.
How about you don't do it 20 minutes into one of the most physically grueling matches of your career?
Yeah. The point is there. I mean, there's a time to do dumb shit as far as wrestling moves go. And let's face it, some of it's just dumb shit to get a pop. And there's times to stay away from it. If you're going to do dumb shit, you do it in the first half of the match, not the last half, after you've started to blow up. Am I right, Mace?
Well, yes and no, but at the same time, there's a place and time to do dumb shit and try dumb shit. It's called the fucking house shows.
Yep.
And that's what he did. He tried dumb shit at the house show. He fucked up. He got hurt. And he ain't going to do it again.
Probably not.
I bet he does.
The odds are good he won't.
Does he really want to go for a broken nose a third time?
Yes. But he does, because he's done it before. So it's one of his moves now. It's like number 8. Scary.
Yeah, well, you know, stick
when
with
he gets
five.
To 10, we'll have a celebration.
There you go.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Like, give me a fucking spine buster. Give me something like... Give me something that Cena can do. It's easy, and it looks like it hurts because Cena's built like a brick shithouse.
The other thing about
house
shows...
So he's been doing a Fez press and... You know, stomping in the corner and stuff like that.
How about this? Let's give him all of Steve Austin's moves in springboard form.
Springboard, mother hole stomping, springboard loop,
kick, like springboard kick to the gut. He turns around, jumps to the ropes again, and springboard stunner.
You know, I wouldn't mind trying to see him attempt that, because that would be fucking hilarious.
That sounds like something you and Spug would plan for a house show, for an indie show.
The first time he does the springboard kick to the midsection, it's going to be, well, he's going to Sid Vicious himself.
That was mean.
And speaking of indie matches, Spug and I would plan, somebody has stolen our Lego table spot.
Yeah, I've got footage of it.
Somebody stole your Lego table spot?
Oh, someone actually built a table of Lego?
Yeah, I saw footage of something like that being put up a little while ago.
It's like, would back
that
when,
cost
back
like $1,000 worth of Legos to put
probably.
Together? Yeah.
Like, because I was, like, when MetroCon was putting on wrestling shows, like, the main event, instead of, like, a big bag of thumbtacks, he pulled out a bin of Lego, like, and I was talking to Terry afterwards, who took the spot, and he was like, "Dude, that was worse than thumbtacks."
Oh, Legos, like, are killer! If you don't believe me, just step on one buried in the carpet when you're chasing after your 5-year-old.
like he told me straight up, he would have preferred the thumbtacks, because, like, he showed me his back afterwards, and it's just, good lord, there's so many bruises and welts.
Yeah,
like there's dents in his skin where I could plug a Lego in.
Yeah, but May said the time you try stupid shit is at house shows. You also have to remember, house shows are totally different from the shows that you see on TV. Completely different. You're going to get longer matches. Certain matches are going to go longer. You're going to get a lot more playing around because they're not, you know, having to be 100% perfectly in character and on point for TV. A whole bunch of things, different things happen at house shows to entertain the crowd. So this is, again, like you said, that's where you do the dumb shit, is at the house shows, to try it and see what happens. So he got a little boo-boo. Nothing major serious happened. He's going to be good. He'll be at Raw tomorrow night, and he'll be fighting Seth Rollins for the U.S. Championship in 2 weeks. So, I mean, you know, talk about dumb shit. Remember Johnny Devine when he filmed that TNA One Night Only pay-per-view? And he botched the move on his own, standing on the top of the in the corner of the top ring post, and basically just did an absolute nosedive right under the top of his head, under the canvas. Nobody around him. I don't know if you saw that video footage or not, but I remember when he showed it to me, and I remember the shit that we got into when we posted that, you know, he was there, if you remember that or not, posted on Facebook, Rock.
Yay. I remember what you talk about, but it wasn't like we reported it. It was all over the internet.
Yeah, I know. But he got mad that you put it on the Facebook page.
Oh,
he's like,
no.
Who the fuck is this Rock and Sock? I mean, what, dude? That's my, that's the webmaster dude.
Oh,
who
man.
Who the fuck told him he could do that? I did, jackass.
Oh, no, I reported something that you did something. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was hilarious. As
making
hell,
someone but... relevant.
So I sent you the message. Yeah, take the picture down. He's crying like a fucking diva. But anyway,
for Johnny.
Yeah, I'm not even going there, man.
But you did anyhow.
I'm not going there anymore. So there. Yeah, PWI 500. Is this thing even relevant anymore? I mean, like 10 years ago, it was a bigger deal.
It was a bigger deal when it actually included a lot of people.
Yeah.
But now it's pretty much you take one look at it and go, who's the WWE champion right now? Seth Rollins. Who's number one on the PWI 500? Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Okay. Who's your next champion for New Japan? Who's your champion for some indie place? You know, all you do is like your top 10 is usually made up out of your champions.
Yeah.
For your bigger name feds. The when it gets interesting is when you hit the lower half. When you hit that 300 and below spot.
No, it gets interesting when you go to number 500 and read it, that it's Space Monkey, and then you Google Space Monkey and go, what the hell am I Googling?
Oh, no. The best one is when you take a look and you go up to spot number 447 and you see Zack Ryder's name.
Actually, 447 is David Finlay Jr.
477, Mace. 477.
Oh. 477, Zach.
Oops.
Yeah.
I mistyped it when I was going through it. Because the one thing I personally do is I go through and I look for the Australians who pop up on that list.
Yeah. Tommy Dreamer is listed at 303.
Is that where he is or his weight?
Both, okay. I think. Nowadays.
Just making sure.
Here's a crying shame. Here's a crying shame. Hideki Suzuki's only at 181.
The crying shames is the things I always look at is, okay, who do I think is one of the best wrestlers right now? Let's see all the people who are listed above him. let's see. Number 41, Antonio Cesaro, listed above him. Drew Galloway. The Big Show. Ethan Carter III. Ryback.
Yeah.
Let's see, all the way up 14 to Daniel Bryan, who's wrestled, 2 months this year?
Yeah, well, 3 months.
King Barrett, listed higher than Cesaro. Jay Wyatt, who wrestles, 12 matches a year.
Yeah, you said Cesaro was 41, where Jay Briscoe was sitting at number 7?
Jay Briscoe's... Mr. 9RH, he's been, was champion for about 2 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just making sure.
AJ Bell's at 28, but he barely beat out Ryback, who came in at 29.
Number 3, AJ316 says, I just broke your neck, Styles.
Yeah. Yeah, this is...
Look at the top 10, okay? A quick rundown of the top 10. You know, Seth Rollins number 1, Cena's at 2, Styles at 3, Roman Reigns at 4, Shinsuke Nakamura at 5, Randy Orton at 6, Jay Briscoe at 7, Rusev's at 8,
mm-hmm.
Alberto Del Rio, or Alberto El Patron.
You'll get it out.
At 9, Kevin Owens at 10.
Yeah.
So we have 1, 2, 3, 4 non-WWE wrestlers in that top 10.
Yep, and that's it.
Yeah, the rest is WWE guys.
Now, back, even 10 years ago, PWI 500 was the go-to magazine for the whenever they came up with their top 500. That was the go-to list. It just seems like the last several years, they, well, who's WWE, you know, like their second WWE's dick.
So you say 10 years ago, right? You had Batista, John Cena, Triple H, JBL, Kurt Angle, Edge, Shelton Benjamin.
Were part you went of back 10 years. Okay, go 15.
All right, let's go back to
2000.
There we go. I'm looking for another thing. Triple H, The Rock, Chris Benoit, Jeff Jarrett, Justin Credible, Mike Awesome, Justin Jushin Liger, Kenta Kobashi, Chris Jericho, and Sasaki, and Vader, and going from there. So half was WWE.
Yeah, but the thing is, you had Japan, you had WCW, you had WWE, you had guys that were also working independents. Now, pretty much your list now is New Japan, WWE, and maybe some Ring of Honor guys.
But isn't that what it is right now?
Yeah,
like,
but
really, like the industry's top.
The thing is, you used to be able to look at this, and you could look at it and go, here's some indie guys that are coming up through the ranks, and you could see who to keep an eye on the next couple of years. Now you're just looking at who's popular now. There's no future in 90% of these guys because they've already made it in some way, shape, or form.
Part of it is also just like name value. Like you're playing to an audience here, and yeah, a lot of these talents, like especially in the top 100, you know most of them because they're in WWE or Ring of Honor or New Japan, but Number one, that's marketing to the crowd who knows those names. And number two, the industry is way different right now. I mean, you know, WWE basically has their run to cherry pick anyone they want at this point.
Well, I remember in 2007 they would list a lot of indie wrestlers, a lot more than they are nowadays. And they had a lot of a few Calgary independents that were for different indie promotions in Canada and the northwestern United States on that list. You just don't see guys like that anymore on this
plus you got to wonder now what constitutes actually being able to be on this list. 182, Jeff fucking Jarrett.
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time he fucking wrestled?
He just won the King of the Mountain Championship.
In a place that fucking mattered!
Well, when you want to do that...
It's Jeff Jarrett.
No,
you got to remember, this thing would have been decided months ago.
No,
in order to make print.
To really give you a real answer, he wrestled a lot in Japan with the Bullet Club in the last year. Again, I'm dropping knowledge that I don't usually follow.
The point stands. Like, look how high Daniel Bryan is on the list. And Daniel Bryan, one of the best wrestlers in the world, yes... He barely wrestled this year at all.
He belongs in the top 50, but no higher than 45 right now, just because of the year he's had or hasn't had.
270, Ultimo Dragon. He's still fucking alive?
Apparently.
Ultimo Dragon.
Or he was just that good that he, you know.
I don't think this is one that's like, you know, oh, they died like 15 years ago. We can still have them in the bottom 20.
Here's the thing. Ultimo Dragon won another title in All Japan as he became the All Asia Tag Team Champion in March of this year.
Okay, Rock, seeing as you're fucking Googling. 322, Teddy Hart. What the fuck's he been doing lately?
Tim, what has Teddy Hart been doing?
Ducking from the authorities in Alberta because he's up on two sexual assault charges. But other than that, not much.
Oh, my God.
And just
that's old news, by the way.
366, Zach Gowan.
By the way, but just for reference point, here's some Ultimo Dragon.
Oh, I miss when he used to come out with, like, 18 belts.
Yeah.
Couldn't see him because it was just all belts.
Yeah, the guy who needed a manager just to bring them all down to the ring at once. That was great. I fucking love that shit.
On that note, everybody, I think it's time that we progress to...
No. I'm still going. Oh
God.
I'm suddenly having fun. Fuck off.
I'm tired of 500 crap.
Yeah, I really have, like... Okay, RVD was, like, number one ranked in, like, 2002, and I think I stopped giving a shit after that.
And he didn't even rank in the top 500 this year.
Oh, I don't think... I'm not sure he's wrestled this year.
He's probably wrestled as a handful of times, maybe, on the indies? Maybe?
Yeah, because apparently the guy has watched his money, because he ain't hurting for work.
He likes to sign his autograph.
It's true. But I will say this... very proud to see At number 469, Mr. Juicy has made it for the second year in a row. He's a Melbourne-based wrestler. He basically looked like four times the size as Kevin Owens, but he has slimmed down to being slimmer than Kevin Owens now, thank fuck. So it's good to see him there for the second year in a row.
Uh-huh.
Of course, Buddy Murphy popping up at 116 was a bit of a surprise, seeing as he didn't even fucking rank previously.
Yeah.
And a laugh at Johnny Devine at 419. Because, frankly, let's just laugh at Johnny. So
yeah, he's still working the odd indie show between Calgary, Red Deer, and Edmonton. So,
okay. Now, before I finish this up quickly, I just want to read out the last five names on this list.
251, Stevie Richards. He's wrestled?
Yeah. He's scheduled to face Ring of Honor champion Jay Lethal here in the next week or so.
Hey, Omega. 471, Damian Wayne. I didn't know comic book characters could wrestle.
Doesn't that break some like child work laws or something?
I have no idea. But okay, I got to read off the final four names, the final five. Okay, from 496 through to 500. So 496, Cheeseburger.
All right, Omega. Have you seen Cheeseburger?
I had a cheeseburger for lunch today.
No, the wrestler.
No.
Okay. Keep reading,
Mace. Does he actually dress as, like, Mayor McCheese and wrestle?
Keep reading, Mace.
Okay. 497, The Hobo. 498, Dewey Murray. 499, Brandon Locke. And, of course, as Rock's already previously mentioned, number 500 is Space Monkey.
Have we seen Space Monkey?
I have not seen Space Monkey. Oh my god, Cheeseburger's fucking hilarious.
I think it just came. I'm not sure that's a wrestler. I think it just wandered into the ring after a shift at Arby's.
No, that's Cheeseburger, as in the chant in the shows when he's wrestling is eat a cheeseburger.
Good lord.
Oh my god, Space Monkey. Oh my god.
Is he from Zimbabwe? Okay, what's this one?
So, like, it just goes to show that, like, some of these names are absolutely fucking out there, the lower you get. That's why I like the lower half of this list, is you find some of the most fucking really stupid names.
And there's what the drawing power of the PWI 500 gets you in that shot with Space Monkey.
You got in 467, Crucifix, and right below him is Jervis Cottonbelly, Mr. Juicy below him, Dick Justice.
Mr. Juicy below him.
Yeah, I know, that was... You're sick. 473, here's a name for you, Rip Impact.
That sounds like Rip Impact.
That sounds like a bad porn star name from the 70s.
Rip Impact. Oh my god.
And Rip Impact is higher than Zack fucking Ryder.
Mace, did you ever see Space Mutiny episode of MST3K?
Not that I can actually remember.
Oh my god, you need to see it.
So
That's the one where they kept going like Slab Bulkhead and... You know, like rip steak chunk and like just like stupid action hero names like that. That's the first thing that's popped into my head.
So Space Monkey, a monkey masked man, claims to be a simian sent to space by NASA and returned to Earth with an innate ability to wrestle. He's from Ontario, Canada.
Where the hell is Mr. Juicy from?
I don't know.
Melbourne, Australia.
That's your Australian guy, okay.
Yeah.
Dewey Murphy has made a name for himself by doing comedy parodies of other wrestlers, but no one can doubt his fighting spirit.
You want to bet?
The Hobo, the boxcar superstar, reigned as the championship wrestling from Hollywood.
Boxcar superstar.
The champion wrestling from Hollywood Heritage title list from August 2014 through February, where it was upended by Yuma.
There you go. Okay, guys, now it's time to move on to the all-time greatest.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoopsie freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
No! We continue on with the conversation to determine what is the greatest Survivor Series moment of all the time. Owen Hart turns on his family, the Hart family, in 1993, or John Cena gets fired in 2010. Omega.
I know. Firing angles never work for me, just because you know they're not. Like that one was really no different for me. But like, there's part of me that still remembers Owen turning on his family. Mm-hmm. Like it's a really, like, when you turn on a partner or something, it's a classic heel move to turn on your whole fucking family. That's villain. That's fucking wrong.
Right.
That's what you call OV, original villain.
OV. I'll have to change my answer because of that joke. No, we'll stick with Owen on that one.
Mace.
I'm trying to bring up my list. Alright, I, as much as I loved any reason that we see John Cena getting fired, we all know it wasn't going to last.
Or be real.
Or be real. As much as I would have liked.
But remember,
grumble.
Wasn't
she hater? Grumble.
Wasn't this the time where when he got fired, he became
Juan Cena?
Fuck off. Fuck right off. I had scrubbed that from my memory.
And it's just like, you know, Mr. America showed up when Hulk Hogan suddenly disappeared. So,
ew.
You know, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay, WWE is done with Hulk Hogan. When do we see Mr. America make his return?
If you actually, last time I checked on WWE.com, you can still find Mr. America. Hulk Hogan got scrubbed, but there's still Mr. America clips.
It's a work. It's all a work.
But I will attest, like, I went back and I watched this footage. It wasn't fucking, it wasn't Owen Hart turns on the Hart family. It was the Hart family turning their back on Owen. You know, Brett was in the wrong part of the ring when he exited. He had his attention to the crowd instead of keeping his eye on the ring while his brother was wrestling. Walked into Owen as he hit the ropes. And what happens? The Hart family worries about fucking Brett.
And gets mad at Owen.
And get mad at Owen. When it's Brett's fault that the accident happened. It was Brett who wasn't paying attention. And hell, it wouldn't be Survivor Series without Bret Hart screwing someone over.
Oh. It wouldn't be a Survivor Series without a Hart family member getting screwed over by somebody.
Exactly.
Yes, that's what you meant.
So, yeah, I'm going on Owen. I'm going on, and I'm going to put this in quotations, Owen Hart turns on the Hart family in 1993.
Piss off your air quotes.
Well, it was the Hart family that turned their back on Owen.
Now you're just whining.
I know, but I'm on Owen's side with that fucking feud. I am on Owen's side with that one.
So Mace,
the Hart family turned their back on him.
So, you Owen Hart lover, you.
Mace is now actually becoming a Hart family member because they're whining on the internet. Tim.
Well, you know, in 2010, we did get Juan Cena at the house shows. I was going to bring that up, and I hope that you didn't say anything, but you fucked it up, I think, before you went to me. But, yeah, you know, we got Juan Cena at the house shows. Yeah, we didn't get Juan Cena on TV, though, and that's what turned the tide. No, fuck off. Are you kidding? The Hart family breakup in 1993 gave us 4 years of one of the most incredible feuds in professional wrestling history. You cannot pick anything on this list tonight over the Owen Hart Hart family tragedy.
Just to defy him, I'm changing my answer.
See how I skillfully avoided saying it was Owen Hart who turned on his family, Mace? Do you see how I did that?
You just said that he did. So, moving on.
Don't screw me over like that. Don't turn on me.
We have Raw versus SmackDown in 2005 and Edge costing The Undertaker the World Heavyweight Championship in 2007. The Mace.
Call me Pinko.
What?
What, did you find something on his Twitter account?
Nah, it's 9 o'clock on a Saturday.
Now, I'm going to go with Raw vs. SmackDown 2005 because I went back again, watched it, and realized that the actual moment that is being talked about here would be a certain dead man returning via a burning casket, more so than the actual match itself. And what topped this out for me was Orton's facial expressions. He looked like he had seen a ghost, pissed, and shat himself all at the same time. Also, having the image of the lightning hitting this coffin, it bursting into flames, the Undertaker just, like, the front of it falling open, here's the Undertaker, he just walks out going, fuck, that was hot, and just going down to the ring and kicking ass. Brilliant. Loved every minute of it. Edge taking down the Undertaker wasn't so impactful. You know, Edge comes out from under the ring pretending to be a cameraman or whatever. Hits Undertaker with a steel chair quite a few times. It was a beating. I prefer the drama over the beating. So, yeah, Raw vs. SmackDown 2005.
Omega.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Mace on that one. Typically, I know they always did the Raw versus SmackDown stuff, trying to put SmackDown over desperately. And it's kind of a natural fit for Survivor Series during the brand extension. But yeah, that was about Taker, and god damn, that's the kind of return you want to see for a dead man.
Tim, what am I in?
This is not the easiest one of the two to pick. Edge costing the Undertaker the World Championship. That was a very good moment. Raw versus SmackDown 2005. Yeah, get you there. What Mace said, Raw versus SmackDown 2005.
Next week, just for spite, you're going first on both of them.
Shut up, I am not.
Next week, so Raw vs. SmackDown 2005 and Owen Hart turns on his family moves on. Next week, it's the debut of The Undertaker taking on the double turn of Demolition, Powers of Pain, and Mr. Fuji. And Team Hogan vs. Team Andre and the partnership of Shawn Michaels and Diesel falls apart.
Oh, I have to let you know that anything involving Hulk Hogan has to be struck from the all-time greatest from now on.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, that's not happening.
No, that's not going to happen.
All right, so next time on the all-time greatest, the greatest racist in WWE history.
There you go. On that note, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits. Wow. That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow, fine.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
And with this being WCW night, we have different background music for the quick hits. If anyone can actually remember who this song was for, you get bonus points. So someone keep track of bonus points. Anyway, we'll start with Tim. Tim, if Major Gunn...
Alex Wright.
There you go. Mace gets the bonus points.
If I could have heard it, I would have said it first.
Tim, if Major Gunn's and Disco Inferno made a sex tape, what would it be called?
Major Gunn's and Disco Inferno?
Uh-huh.
Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Why?
Because there's just no way in hell I could see Disco Inferno getting lucky enough to score with Major Guns.
Omega's Legos approve.
No, they don't.
They don't disapprove.
Mace, if Stacy Keibler and Lord Steven Regal made a sex tape, what would it be called?
The British are coming. The British are coming.
Pack for fudge.
There you go. Omega, if Kimberly and Sting made a sex tape, what would it be called?
Kimberly and Sting. God, I'm trying to think of something clever here. God, what do we have to work with Kimberly? Jeez. Yeah, you're trying to help me, but that's not helping.
Isn't Kimberly with Kurt Angle now?
No.
No. I think Kurt's with that Amazonian that was in TNA for a while. God, that's a terrible pick, Rock. There's nothing to work with here.
Do you need more time?
Yeah.
All right, we'll come back to you for that one. We'll go back to Tim. Tim, if Medusa and Goldberg made a sex tape, what would it be called?
Medusa and Goldberg?
Yes.
Goldberg. Jackhammering Alundra Blaze.
Get rid of it.
Dropping the belt, version 2.
Dropping the belt, version 2. Could have just said jackhammering her blaze. That would have worked too. Get rid of the Alundra part.
If you're going to answer these, why the fuck ask me?
No, I was just correcting yours.
That's I'm all. Just saying.
Maze, if Miss Madness and Juventud Guerrera made a sex tape, what would it be called?
One Night in Cocaine.
Oh.
So, Megan, have you gotten your first one yet?
I hate you.
Think something up, quickly.
God.
Because then you have a second one to think of.
I know. I'm dreading it. God, the disappearing baseball bat. Because I got no pun for Kimberly.
All right, if Tori Wilson and Billy Kidman made a sex tape, which we all know they did, what would it be called?
Oh, jeez. What do I even remember about Tori Wilson?
Is it sad that when you bring up the name Wilson, I go to, like, the storyline of Tori's old man and Dawn Marie?
No, because that's the only thing I can remember her for, too. God, I'm fucking Googling for this shit now. Just pull random names from a hat and expect something to actually work.
Hey, I could have started giving you Nitro Girl names. That probably would have been worse.
Well, technically, you gave me Kimberly. She started there.
Okay. Technically, I gave you one of the Nitro Girls.
And believe it or not, the fact that she was a Nitro Girl weighed in on like what I was trying to think of. I was like, okay, she was a Nitro Girl. She boned DDP. And that's about all I know.
And she showed her tits in some movie.
Rock, I hate you.
Is he still stuck on the second question for crying out loud?
There's no funny answer. There is no funny answer. There's nothing I can work with here.
You know, in the time that it's taken for you to figure something out, I did my dishes.
I don't care.
All right, Mike, you have a homework assignment.
I have a homework assignment.
Come up with names for next week.
Jesus Christ.
That's your homework assignment for next week.
That's your homework assignment for next week. This week, we're done. Next week, it is the Pick'em night. Night of Champions Pick'em. And are we going to have a giveaway for the Night of Champions Pick'em winner this week?
Yeah, we're giving away the digital copy of Daniel Bryan's book.
There you go. So, everybody, you got another chance to win a copy of Yes by Daniel Bryan. So, that, of course, takes place next week. We'll give you all of the details. Make sure you tune in at a regular time, 10 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Mountain Time. Tomorrow night, however, don't forget to check out immediately following Raw. It's the Raw Post Show.
Every Monday night, it's the Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. We'll recap everything that goes down on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, and of course, Thursday night's the multi-time, multi-award-winning The Rack radio show with your host, LindsayWard.com. Wait, she's not a website.
No. She has a website.
Which is quite surprising considering Rox just about put everything in this network onto a .com.
Yep. Just about.
She does have her own website. It's like worddesigns.com. You can check out recradioshow.com. You can check out youtube.com/recradioshow. You can check out the Facebook and Twitters at recradioshow. You can check out the Rack Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll recap NXT, SmackDown, and all the other news and notes you could possibly handle. It's the Rack. You never know what will go down. You can check out the Rack Extra Total Divas Season 4, Episode 9 now available. Episode 10 available on Wednesday. And at some point during the week, either Thursday or Friday, the Rack Extra Invading Dragon Con. Lindsay went to Dragon Con. We're going to have a whole podcast about her at Dragon Con. So check it out. RackRadioShow.com. Lots of content.
There you go. And of course, Saturday night, midnight-ish, close I get to it. Depends on what time everybody wakes the hell up. It's another edition of CB Radio. And Omega has only appeared once so far this year and will never appear again.
Probably.
Bullshit.
This Saturday night, it is episode 400. The big 400. What will happen? Who will show up? Could it be old hosts from the past? Could it be people from this network? You never know. Could we be just calling random strangers and saying, hi, welcome to CB Radio? You never know. It's weird. It's wacky. It's unusual. It's the 400th episode of CB Radio. You can follow the show on Twitter at CB Radio Live, facebook.com/CB Radio Live. The website is cbradiolive.com. And use the hashtag Blame Rob.
Yeah, hashtag Blame Rob. And, of course, you can follow the Wild Talk Radio Network on the Twitter machines at Wild Talk Radio. You can also follow Russ Talk Radio at WTR Sunday Night. Did you know you can follow me on Twitter at Flames Forums? You can also follow me on Twitter at Trivial Tim. Hey, guess what? You can now follow me on the Facebook page. Facebook.com/mankitchen. That's right.
You can be friends with Man Kitchen.
Yeah, Mr. Kitchen, first name Man. Really cool when you're logging into Facebook. It says, how's it going, man? Or welcome back, man. It's kind of funny. Anyway, yeah. Speaking about Facebook, why don't you check out Wild Talk Radio Network on Facebook. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Facebook.com/groups/Wild Talk Radio Network. Join one, like the other, and you too can post shit. Mace is on Twitter.
Yes, you can find me on Twitter at the Macing. You can also go and check out all my little video bits and pieces over at youtube.com/WTR Games Garage, where eventually I'll be putting up some reviews of video games that I've been playing lately, and also the Animaga convention that I went to over the weekend. And got to interview the voice of Tuxedo Mask himself, Toru Furuya. And basically I sit there going crazy because the guy speaks absolutely no Japanese and I'm having to listen to his interpreter most of the time. So, yeah. That was fun. But other than that, yeah, I got nothing else for you.
Here you go. Omega, plug shit.
Let's see. Everything that I do can generally be found under the name TJ Omega. Facebook is the exception, where it is TJ Reviews.
Quit choking on it when you say it.
Still bitter. God damn it. You can find me over on Twitter at TJ Omega. You can find a bunch of my stuff at TJOmega.org, which is due for a facelift here in the near future. Over on YouTube.com/TJ Omega, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. It is new reviews featuring me. And it seems like now we are going to be doing Tuesday and Thursday nights live game streaming. I think that's actually going to be a thing from now on.
That sounds like fun.
No more Sonic games, please. No more Sonic games.
I did grab another one.
There you go.
But it's not the next one planned.
All right, thank you very much to PWMania.com for once again putting up with an affiliation with us. All your wrestling news and reviews, check out www.PWMania.com. With that being said,
hold
I
on.
Think we're out of here. What? Oh, wait, there's something else.
Get us on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio to search Wild Talk Radio Network.
Just search Wild Talk Radio Network on all of those things, and then it'll be cool. So, yeah, download, the TuneIn app onto your mobile device, and you can check out any WTR programming on the go when you can't be at your computer.
Right, and when you're on the go and you want to listen to us and we're not live, get Stitcher. It's an app. It's free, and you get the podcast for free.
Yeah, there you go. Free's good. Free's not bad. Free doesn't suck. Pay us, damn it. That being said, have yourselves a great week. We'll catch you next Sunday night for another episode, WTR Sunday Night.